The Beacon, celebrating when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable.
Hey, well, greetings and welcome to The Beacon, sponsored by Phoenix Christian Preparatory School. We are delighted that you've chosen to tune in today, and we are super excited to have a special guest in our program this morning. We want to welcome President Len Munsell of Arizona Christian University. President Len, welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Great to be with you this morning.
So thrilled that you're on the air with us today and in studio with us. We also have, or actually in our virtual studio, Zoom method, we have Jeff Blake, the superintendent of Phoenix Christian. Jeff, welcome.
Good morning, Steve, and good morning, President Munsell. We're blessed to have you on the show, and this is just really looking forward to this.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, we're just so excited to get to have you as a guest. When Jeff told me that it was going to work out, I was completely thrilled and just so personally excited to get the opportunity to spend some time with you to learn a little bit more about your story and your journey and what how God's using you. So, you know, for at least the last 9 years, serving as the president of Arizona Christian University, and prior to that, you know, with incredible accolades, the founding leader of the Center for Arizona Policy, an author, an attorney, somebody who's been a witness in key cases that's had the opportunity to be, you know, in court cases and just so many different things, so many different ways. But, you know, at the center of all that is a husband and a father and, you know, a guy who is, I know, a big family guy. And tell us a little bit, if you would, please, about your personal background, how you and your wife met, your family. Give the listeners a little look into your personal life, if you would.
Well, I'd be happy to do that, Steve. Obviously, I spent many years of my life in what's known as the pro-family movement, and that's trying to defend some of the values of life and family that this nation really was built on, that are critical to the success of any civilization. And I used to say that I was professionally and personally committed to the institution of the family. I was blessed to meet my wife, and that's a whole interesting story, at Arizona State University, home of the devils. And somehow in that environment that is really hostile in many ways at times to people of faith, a secular public university, she came to faith in Christ, was actually led to Christ from a faculty member at Arizona State University while she was the editor of the newspaper at ASU, the State Press, which is where I met her. And I was a lowly staff member. So she was my boss. And she didn't know I existed, but I knew she existed. And she was a little bit older than me. But she came to faith in Christ at that time. And I ended up succeeding her. I ended up becoming the editor the following year. As she went off to pursue a journalism career in Washington, and as we like to tell people, we decided to make her being my boss permanent. And we got married a few years later, but that was how we met, and married way over my head. I actually was interested in her because I said, I want to do big things for God, and here's a woman who has the capacity to do the kinds of things that I want to do. She was just the most capable person I'd ever seen. So we launched our life together and with many trials and travails and ups and downs. But one of the things that happened early on as we started to have a family is that I think the assumption had been that she was going to work while I went to law school, and she got pregnant and we started our family. And once we started, it was so much fun that we just couldn't stop. So we ended up having, in our first decade of marriage, we had 8 kids in a little over 9 years, no twins, no triplets. I had one board member at Center for Arizona Policy said, can we get you cable television or something? what an incredible blessing. But we sort of reached the conclusion as we looked at scripture and how God viewed children, that children were a gift from God and a blessing, not a burden. And even though they cost money and they're challenging and require a lot of time and effort and energy, we just felt like we wanted to be open to being blessed by God. And so, and I tell you, it's not for everybody, but for us, that's how we were led. And it was a step of faith. We didn't really know how we would have capacity emotionally, financially, sure, to provide for them. But we knew that God's our provider. And so we just went for it. And but we have zero regrets other than, you know, now that they're all grown and graduated from college and starting their own families, we wish we'd had more, but we're thankful. They were an incredible blessing. And so all through that season where I was doing, you know, pro-life and pro-family work, we were also raising a pretty sizable family. So that's a little background on how we met, and it's been fun, you know, just watching them grow and come to different stages of life and all the ups and downs. And, you know, we've got some great pictures of our family that look really good. And I always tell people that those are it's like Facebook, right? It's the, sure, it's the highlights and everything. The reality is, you know, from marriage to raising kids, we've had all the same ups and downs and experiences that everybody else has. And, sure, and we all fall short. So
it's funny, we joke a little bit at our house about Facebook and Instagram being sort of the perpetual Christmas letter that you would, yes, get, where everything, yes, is just roses and sunshine and, yeah, butterflies and rainbows, right?
Yeah, and I used to write those Christmas letters in on behalf of our ministry, and they had a picture of our 8 kids every year. And
sure.
So my poor kids grew up usually in their teen years, where they realized that every house they went to, there was our family picture was on the, you know, was on the kitchen refrigerator. But they got through that. They managed through that. Okay. And
I'm sure that was a little trippy at times in those teen years. Like, wait a minute, I'm on everybody's, like, I thought I'm not on a milk carton because I'm missing. I'm actually, yeah, everywhere else on everybody's refrigerator. That's amazing. Now, what ages are your adult children now?
So they are now, our oldest is 33 and our youngest is 24.
Wow, amazing.
So they're all in that season.
And within your family, probably a number of marriages. You have some grandkids at this point? And
we have 4 are married and another one due to get married in October. So in this year, 5 of the 8 will be married. And the 4 that are married, we now have 8 grandchildren with more on the way that haven't been announced yet. So we have 8 grandkids, the oldest of whom just turned 4 years old. So they're all, it's like toddler demolition derby when we it's like crashing into each other, and it's absolutely hilarious. Lots of screaming. It's great.
That sounds fantastic. It's demolition derby meets a frat house meets, you know.
It is. And people tell us, well, you should be used to that because you had 8, but it's, you know, we had them sequentially. It's very different than when they're all the same age. You know, our oldest was 9 when our youngest was born. So they were pretty young, but a 9-year-old and a 3-year-old are a lot different.
Different.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a handful of 3-year-olds. It's like a tiny gang.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And they're starting to form up into different units and everything. It's hilarious to watch,
So fun, right?
Yeah, you know, it is.
And the grandkid thing, my wife and I are blessed to have a couple of grandkids now, and we just love it. And for years they lived in Washington State, and then last summer moved to Phoenix. And man, you know, we knew we were missing out, but now that they're here, we just treasure every moment that we get together. It's amazing. And I understand now what my dad said when my wife and I, you know, had kids and he became a grandfather. He said, you know, he used to introduce me as his son, but now he introduces me as the father of his grandchildren, because he says that's a much more important and honorable thing to have done than just being his son. And I really get that now.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Well, that's really neat. And like you said, you know, we all have those seasons and those photos that look like everything is, yeah, you know, rosy and sunshiny, but you know, life is hard. There's a lot of things that happen, yeah, in the course of everybody's life. And I think that, you know, one of the great parts of having a platform like this is to have that chance to be authentic and say, you know, for all of those pictures that look well poised and well groomed and well defined, there are moments where in between those times you wonder, man, what was I thinking? How is this going to happen? What is God going to do with this? How do I sustain this? What is it going to look like? And and I think that's a very real and important, you know, confession for everybody to get the chance to make that, you know, what? It's tough sometimes.
Well, a lot of times too, because we had so many people will say, well, I only have one or two. And, you know, there's no only. You know, if you have one child, they are all consuming, and we all go through those same experiences for us where, you know, there are times of just utter desperation. God, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do here. And I think anybody who, you know, in marriage and having a family and, even as a son or a daughter looking at your family, you're going to have those moments where we just need help because we're human and flawed and sinful. And so we just need the help of God. So, well, you us, know. Definitely it put that kind of pressure on. And then, you know, just to get back to my story a little bit, I was at college at ASU when I recommitted my life to Christ. And it was because there were a number of people who'd been praying for leadership at the universities, specifically in the student government and the student newspaper, to come to faith in Christ. So I was getting these letters from people that were praying for me. And that was the moment where really for the first time, God got a hold of me in a way where I started to read scripture every day, which I hadn't done through, you know, high school and even the beginning of college, and really began to understand that God is real and that he can speak and he can lead. And it was kind of at that point where I said, Lord, I really want to, whatever you ask me to do, I want to try to do to the best of my ability. So college for me was a really critical moment. But the funny thing is that ending up as a college president, I went to law school. I couldn't wait to get out of academia.
Right.
So I could actually go out and do stuff. You know, that I wanted, it's out there that things happen, not here. And then God, in his great sense of humor, stuck me back in a university setting where I committed 2 years to it as the interim president. And right. I'm about to celebrate the 8th anniversary of the end of my time as president at ACU. So.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things. All right, fine, I'll do this, but I'm not going to make a habit of it. You know, this is 2 years. And again, the theme of our program, as you know, is when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. Here's a guy that couldn't get far enough away fast enough from academia and the college experience, who God now uses on a daily basis to lead Arizona Christian University. When we come back in this next segment, we're going to talk about some of the trials that leadership has met with in this global pandemic era. I mean, to be at the helm of a university at this season has had to be an amazing experience. Come on back to the Beacon. Join us in the next segment. We hear from President Munsell. Thanks for tuning in.
The Beacon is presented by Phoenix Christian, a school celebrating excellence in education since 1949. Learn more at phoenixchristian.org.
Hey, well, welcome back to The Beacon. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host. I'm so glad that you have tuned in today. You've picked a great program to listen to. In the event that you'd like to hear other episodes of The Beacon, you can find us on SoundCloud. You can go to phoenixchristian.org/beacon and catch past episodes. But today we're thrilled to have President Munsell from Arizona Christian University joining us. Len, thank you again for being on the program. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
In our last segment, we were talking a little bit about, you know, the way that God blessed you and your wife coming together, coming closer to the Lord during your time at ASU and then, you know, having this family, your adult kids, grandkids, and all of that. Take just a moment before we talk about the university, which we're going to spend most of this segment on. And if somebody's listening and, you know, maybe they're a parent and they're going through this season of global pandemic that we're all living through, and it's unprecedented for everybody. What might you give for them to have in their tool belt as a, hey, when you feel like you might be at the end of your rope, here's a thought that I can give you based on my past experiences as a dad and, you know, a pro family advocate.
Well, obviously we had a very large family, and so we tried to allow our kids to be who they were, individual, distinct, and to celebrate them in the way God created and designed them. And I don't know how relatable this is to the pandemic necessarily, although it could probably be adapted for that. But one of the things that I've shared before that a lot of people have liked this idea and considered doing it is that when we'd have a special day like a birthday, we would do something with our kids, and we called it the chair of honor. We'd put them in the chair of honor on their birthday. And it had nothing to do with presents, but we sang a hokey song about the chair of honor that we made up. And then what we would do is we would go around the room, basically from youngest to oldest, and everyone had to get up in front of the whole family and speak to the person in the chair of honor about what they really loved and appreciated about them. So it was just words of affirmation, but we sort of created a structure for it where we'll never forget one of our daughters when she was 3 or 4 and we did the chair of honor for her. And she, you know, she got down from the chair and she said, "Again, can we go again?" You know, she got back up. And so things like that are, you know, they're, and you can adapt it in any way possible, but the concept is taking time with individual, you know, within your family individually to pay honor and respect to the person. And for everybody to identify what are the unique characteristics of my sibling, or could be your parent, or your son or daughter that we really appreciate.
So. Well, I love that. That's both practical and it's especially meaningful. You know, the opportunity to just really kind of focus in on a member of your family or an important person in your life. And it could be as simple as just saying, you know what, a strength I see in you. And you know, completing that with some sincerity and something that affirms them is, you know, it means a lot for any of us to receive recognition or affirmation. It goes a long ways to helping us identify the way the Lord has wired us and how we can be useful to Him. But when it comes from somebody that's close to us, that knows us the best, I think it means all the more. So that's a great and useful suggestion that I can't wait to implement in my own family, our own household. That's going to be a great thing to get to do. Well, so as the president of a university that has undergone some really exciting change, again, a story that probably can't be told apart from the hand of the Lord and His provision. What is it like when you get up, you know, one day and you say, wow, this thing that people are talking about is not going away. In fact, it seems like it's going to be here for a while. We're going to have to make some really hard decisions about student life. That just brings me to my knees thinking about it. I got to believe all of us are dependent on the Lord. What has that been like in this season?
Well, it was crazy. I mean, it was, it all happened so rapidly for us. We were actually on spring break when it went from in 48 hours from, well, there's this threat that's kind of coming to, oh my goodness, everything must stop. And it was literally on spring break when, you know, the NBA suspended its season and spring training stopped and they canceled March Madness. So you have that world, you know, where it just comes to a grinding halt. And what we were seeing during that week was that colleges and universities on the East Coast, where there were outbreaks, and in the Northwest, in the Seattle area, were suspending operations, you know, in terms of face-to-face classes. But we didn't, you know, initially, we were planning, okay, here's the things we're going to do from a health and safety standpoint. We just come out of so it's spring break, so we're gathering everybody. We're in like a 3 or 4 hour meeting with all the leadership, and we're talking through, here are the new cleaning and disinfecting protocols we need to put into place. Here's what we can do with chapel. We can move chapel outdoors to avoid, you know, to try to make it more challenging for the disease to spread. You know, we don't have any incidents at AC. We hadn't at that point, and we still haven't had any incidents of the disease at ACU, but we'd spent all this time planning, and I actually had crafted a great message on this to the community that I had to tear up literally, you know, after getting out of that meeting, because right then, you know, my phone starts going off and ASU has decided that they're not holding face-to-face classes anymore. We only had 6 to 7 weeks left in the semester at that point. So we knew that if we had to go to remote learning for the rest of the semester, we knew we weren't going to probably come back. It was just too short a timetable.
Right.
And the athletic events were being canceled. Other things were being canceled. So so we made that call. But one of the things that we really struggled with was we had a lot of students that were international students living on our campus. We had other students that really their financial wherewithal in terms of they paid for room and board, and their plan was to be on our campus eating meals and with housing, you know, through the beginning of May. And we couldn't figure out what was going to happen. If we just tried to send everybody home, that just wasn't going to work. And so I think we're the only, I've heard from people, we may be the only university in the country that never asked our students to leave, didn't think they needed to leave. We felt like they could be safe on our campus. Many of them did choose to go home, or their parents wanted them home, which was fine. We didn't try to stop anybody.
Right.
But we said, we're going to keep the university open. We kept the library open. We kept the fitness center open under, you know, strict safety protocols, the obviously dining, the student lounges. And so we had probably a larger percentage of our residential students stay on campus throughout the spring compared to anybody in the country. But obviously we moved our classes to remote learning, so they didn't have to be on campus in order to continue and complete their education, their semester.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I've got a daughter who's in college west of Chicago, and, you know, I've got another daughter who works as a resident director on a campus. And, you know, that's an unusual and bold approach to that season of what's going on. We come back in this next segment. We're going to stay on this topic and also hear maybe some real life stories about the impact that God's having through Arizona Christian University. Thank you for tuning into The Beacon. We're honored to have President Len Munsell on the program today, and we're honored to have you listening in. Join us when we come back for this next segment.
The Beacon is made possible by Phoenix Christian and listeners like you.
Hey, well, welcome back to The Beacon. So thrilled to have on the program today President Len Munsell from Arizona Christian University. We were learning a little bit in our last segment about what it was like for him at the helm to navigate decision-making and the global pandemic as it relates to the campus and their family of students. And you know, Len, that was a bold decision that you had to make. These students that, you know, are on this incredible, new, beautiful campus that God's provided with space that is generous for growth. And, you know, like you said off the air, they had a choice of, do I go back to my, you know, parents' basement or my fourth bedroom in the house and, you know, finish out my semester in that cave? Or do I take advantage of the opportunity to stay here and be with my school family? What was that split like? How many would you say chose to stay on campus, and how many were headed for the hills?
You know, over the course of 6 or 7 weeks, it was probably fewer each week, but we also had a bunch of students that are local that live on campus. And I think many of them were kind of going home for a while and they come back. And, you know, universities under the governor's executive order are considered an essential service. And so we could continue to operate without any interruption. We obviously did things with our workforce, like allowed those who were able to work remotely to do so. But we also had to have a sizable number of people on campus all of the time, including security, including, you know, maintenance and grounds, and obviously our food service workers, because we had to continue to serve. We needed to be able to continue to serve the students. We couldn't abandon them in the middle of the pandemic and say, okay, you can stay, but we're leaving. Yeah. So a lot of people were around on campus. And, you know, I remember seeing some students on Easter in the library. You know, it seemed like they were largely doing well, although, of course, this wasn't what any of us wanted. You know, when
right.
you give up your music recitals, when you give up all the activities that lead to the end of the year, when you give up all the athletic events that had been scheduled, it wasn't what anybody wanted. But I'm hopeful that those that stayed had a good experience under the really difficult circumstances that we all have to deal with right now. They probably had more going on in their lives. I'd see them out, you know, playing, kicking a soccer ball around, or, you know, playing catch with a football, baseball, out on the fields, you know, in small groups, which is what we asked them to do, is, you know, continuing to have small group fellowship and prayer time. And then obviously having all the meals available to them and the ability to work out. I think generally we did our best to make the best of a difficult circumstance. But general numbers, I think we had about, for most of the time, we had over 100 of our 300 plus that live on campus that stayed.
That's amazing. Well, you're to be commended, you know, because again, that's not an easy seat to be in when you're making directional decisions like that, that have such a profound impact on the experience and the lives of so many people. So, so well done as it relates to that. And, you know, talking about the campus, it was just the end of last week. I was buzzing across Cactus, and where the campus previously was for so many years is just a flattened nothing. It's gone. And God's provision for Arizona Christian University as it unfolded over recent years, we just need to talk about that, right? I mean, talk about God using the unexpected to do the unexplainable. Give us a 30,000 foot view of how that's been to live that out.
It's still a miracle that we can't believe. I still walk around some days on campus and just pinch myself. Did this really happen? Because it's so a remarkable story for a school that we had grown six consecutive years on the Cactus Road campus, but we weren't growing as fast because we were out of room. We didn't have enough parking. We didn't have enough academic space. And somehow, you know, a small Bible-believing conservative Christian university was able to trade campuses with the largest public university in the country, Arizona State University. And suddenly we went from a campus that was made for 400 or 500, where we had 600 and something students on it, to a campus made for several thousand students, where, you know, we're now nearing 1,000 students at ACU.
That's amazing, right? And both parties think this is a great idea.
It's a total miracle, and I'm happy to tell you the story of how it came about. But it's something that God did that none of us can explain or take credit for. But God somehow did it, and here we are. And so, you know, again, that puts us in a better position, even returning, you know, next fall, because we've got all these big classrooms, and we can put smaller groups of students. They can spread out a little bit. We've got the room on campus to be able to make this work.
Well, this is the story that we want to spend the bulk of our time on in this next segment, because we need to know the ways in which God is blowing the minds of those involved at Arizona Christian University with things that only He can do. That's what this program is about, and we're excited to shine a brighter light on that and shout from a higher mountaintop. So as a listener, please don't miss this fourth and final segment as you get a chance to look behind the curtain and know just exactly what God's doing at Arizona Christian University. Thank you for tuning in. Come on back for our next segment.
Phoenix Christian believes strongly in its rich history and bright future, now equipping students from pre-K through 12th grade. Learn how you can help continue its legacy of Christ-centered education at phoenixchristian.org/support. You're listening to The Beacon, presented by Phoenix Christian.
Well, welcome again. Welcome back to the Beacon radio program, sponsored by Phoenix Christian. We are again delighted to have with us on the program President Len Munsell of Arizona Christian University. And Len, in this fourth and final segment, man, we just want to shine a bright light on Arizona Christian University and really learn as best we can directly from you the ways in which God is doing things that only God can do, so that only He can get the glory. So talk to us a little bit about in the midst of this season and having made the move, what's going on at ACU?
Yeah, so obviously the institution itself is 60 years old. It was founded by the Conservative Baptist denomination, you know, six decades ago, and really operated as a Bible college for many years on its campus on Cactus Road. And by the time I got there in 2010, there was a lot of discussion about whether it had a future. You know, a little over 300 students, small campus, kind of older buildings. And the tagline at the time for the school was intentionally Christian, which is a good, it's a good statement of who we are. But as I came in and presented to the board of trustees, I actually served on the board for 6 years. And as we were talking through some very challenging questions, like should this, is there even a reason for this college to go on? And so I'd been through those conversations. I had some ideas, shared them in a board meeting. And a couple of years later, they asked me to come in and step in as an interim president and try to implement that vision. And part of it was the idea that, you know, rather than be focused internally, let's focus on what God calls us to do, which is to be salt and light, to go out into the world as Christians and transform everything around us and share the gospel of hope and see what it does in people's lives and see transformation occur. And so we came up with a new approach, and I wrote a book about it called Transforming Culture with Truth. And the concept is that we're not spectators in life, that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, he expects us to be engaged in the world around us, to speak truth, to speak hope, to speak life into a community that is in desperate need of the truth of the gospel. And so our mindset changed, and we began to implement that vision of really influencing positions, places of leadership in our culture. Those things that are most influential, from business, the business world, to government, to the media. Obviously, the church is critical. The educational realm, arts and entertainment, all these areas of cultural influence that Christians have systematically been sort of ejected from over the past 50 or 60 years. We want to strategically prepare leaders for the body of Christ to go into these areas of influence. So we implemented that vision. We changed the name to Arizona Christian University. We wanted to say, you know, we're not a school that has Christian in our name because somebody 100 years ago decided that was a good idea. We're choosing now to identify that we are followers of Jesus Christ who want to make a difference in our world. And so we're implementing that. We're starting to get these awards. You know, the school's growing. We're being ranked for the first time as a best college by U.S. News and World Report. College Consensus, the last 2 years, has ranked us the number one university in Arizona, ahead of Arizona State University, my alma mater, and U of A. We're second and third, and they keep switching back and forth, but we've stayed number one. And so we're starting to get recognition for what we're doing academically. We're starting to get noticed for what we're doing spiritually. But we're on this campus that is just too small for the vision that God is unfolding at ACU. And so it's in that context that we started 6 or 7 years ago looking for, is there, first of all, we were trying to buy up the neighborhood, you know, and we sure. kept running into problems as we tried to do that. And then we had some other opportunities that just didn't pan out. So meanwhile, we're continuing to grow. We don't have any parking. The neighbors are mad at us all the time. You know, they're struggling to figure out how we're going to get everybody into classes. The buildings are old. Our library building and faculty building gets flooded. Yeah, so our library gets moved to a 300 square foot, you know, room in the residence hall. It was terrible, and then I noticed that, you know, ASU is announcing that they're closing the historic Thunderbird School of Global Management, and they're closing the campus. They're going to move the Thunderbird School downtown to be part of their downtown campus, and I reached out to President Crow by email and said, hey, here's our situation. And I'd met him back when I ran for governor. I'd met him then, and had a couple meetings with him subsequently to talk about things. We were playing ASU in basketball. That was one of the things that came out of our previous meetings. And he's been wonderful to work with. And he always wants to know what he can do to help. And I said, I see that you're closing that campus. What are you going to do with it? And he responded that night, is typical for him. At 11:30 at night, I get an email back saying, essentially, we haven't decided for sure what we're going to do, but all things are possible. And I thought, well, he just quoted Jesus. Who knows what could come? So make a long story short, 11 months of secret negotiations. In November of 2018, we announced a land swap. We traded our 20-acre campus, which had a lot of value because of the area it was located in, near Paradise Valley, near Scottsdale, for a 68-acre campus with all of these beautiful educational buildings. And overnight, we were 3.5 times bigger in terms of parking, academic space, office space, square footage of buildings under roof. Just an absolute miracle of God that that happened and got all the way to the finish line. So we made that move to this new campus last summer. That was the year that everybody on staff did things that are not in their job description in order to get us over here and able to operate. We did a public bond offering in the fall. And as a result of that, we are now constructing athletic fields. We're revamping classrooms. Well, there's a lot of, if you come to by campus right now, you're going to see construction stuff going on all over the place. So it's a very exciting time to be here. We didn't have a lot of time to market this move because it only, it was announced in November. And so we really only had the spring, and a lot of seniors in high school had made up their minds where they were going. And yet we grew 20% year over year, which is unheard of. Before that, we'd been listed, the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities, of which we're the only member of the CCCU in Arizona. They had already done a story on us as the one of the fastest growing Christian colleges in the country. And that was before we made this move, and we grew 20% year over year. Like I said, we're bumping on 1,000 students now on campus. But unlike every other Christian university in the area, we have, and part of our application requirement is that you have to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's because the mission of the school is not to educate everyone. It's to educate Christians to go into positions of influence. And so that makes our student population different. It makes what we expect of them from a biblical standpoint in terms of conduct, participation in chapel and small groups and spiritual formation is different because we want to go deeper with a few. We don't want 20,000 students at Arizona Christian University. We want 10,000 students at ACU. We want the few that God is going to use to go out and be leaders and difference makers. And we're seeing it. We've seen amazing things happen. We were the smallest school in the country to have somebody accepted at Harvard Law School last year. This young man's going to be a leader for the body of Christ. We have kids now graduating from medical school after we started our biology program. The academic reputation is growing. I think the spiritual reputation is growing as people understand. Other Christian colleges have different missions, which are great for them. I'm glad they're doing what they do. But what we're doing is different and unique because we're taking Christian kids and saying, we believe iron sharpens iron. And they come with many different, you know, many are very mature in their faith. Many have committed their life to Christ, but they've never been discipled. And so they're starting at a very different point. But we bring them all together. They've all raised their hand and said, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to grow in my faith. And then we welcome them into this community and we try to grow them up. And we see these amazing stories of life change. We had a kid a few years ago, literally got a call from our football coach as he was getting bailed out of jail by his mom. That young man is a police officer today in our community. His life was absolutely transformed when he made the decision to follow Christ to come to Arizona Christian University. And there's so many stories like that I could tell you, but I know we're almost out of time. But that's what God is doing at ACU. It's exciting. I couldn't be more excited about what's ahead. Virus or no virus, you can't stop what God is doing at ACU. And I'm just thrilled that I get to be part of it.
Well, that's fantastic. And I can testify that I know many alum that have come through ACU. I know coaches, I know people that are working in ministry, I know those that are in the professional field. And that pivot point that you described, where we said, hey, we're going to be an influencer of the culture in all of these categories. And, you know, we're not going to be the holy huddle when we get out of here. We're going to go out and permeate the areas that are of influence in the society is something that I see lived out in the alum that I know from Arizona Christian University. So praise be to God, because you know that point at which you started where we're wondering, hey, is this even something that's still viable to today, where it's something that how could we live without this? It's critical, is something to be celebrated. So again, President Munsell, thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the obedience in your life. Thank you for being willing to take a path that maybe you never saw yourself on, because we know that God's using that, and we're thrilled to get to celebrate that with you today. So for those that are listening, and for myself, who has committed to come out and see the campus, be a visitor. As you as we're released to be out and about, make that one of your stops. There's lots of space. It's a clean place to be, and it's a chance to learn about ways in which God is equipping young adults for the future of his kingdom, not just beyond the earth, but here on earth in this time. So again, thank you so much for being a part of the program. And Jeff, I know you want to extend your gratitude as well to Len for being on the program.
I am grateful for President Munsell for his leadership, and I'm inspired. The story and the narrative of what God's doing at Arizona Christian is inspiring to a school like Phoenix Christian, and for schools that remain committed to our Lord, and he does supernatural things. He's a creator, and he's still in the business of creating, and that's a beautiful thing. And President Munsell, if someone's interested in learning more about Arizona Christian, what do you recommend?
Yeah, I'd say first go to the website, arizonachristian.edu, find out more information. But we're located at the intersection of 59th Avenue and Greenway. Easy to find, and would love to, you know, we are open. We are giving tours to students as they come in. We're keeping appropriate social distance, but yeah, arizonachristian.edu for more information, or come visit us on campus.
And Arizona Christian is a school that Phoenix Christian is proud to endorse and proud to celebrate. And in fact, tonight, as this is being recorded, we're preparing for our graduation ceremony, unique, in the parking lot of North Phoenix Baptist Church, in a drive-in complete with radio transmission and large projection screens. We're excited. President Munsell will make an appearance tonight in our program, as well as with other community leaders, such as the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, Monty Williams. It's going to be an incredible night to celebrate the hard work and dedication of our seniors who have persevered through a very difficult season. In fact, as we record, Miriam Murray is a proud student at Arizona Christian University. We're glad to have her on our Beacon team. And then even tonight, honestly, we've got Brad Gerken and Andy Marufo, who are proud graduates of Arizona Christian University and proud for the relationship. And so, like Phoenix Christian is a school dedicated to growth and expansion. And we've just added infant care. So we're infant all the way through 12th grade. And there's construction happening even as we speak on PC's campus as well. And if you're interested in learning more about Phoenix Christian, visit phoenixchristian.org. God bless you. And thanks again for listening to The Beacon.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for that update. Again, President Munsell, thank you. Big shout out to our producer, Jeremy, and of course, our capable administrative assistant, Miriam Murray, who's doing so much to promote the success of the program. We do encourage you to go to arizonachristian.edu, check it out for yourself, visit the campus at 59th Avenue in Greenway. Listen, get out there and have a great day today. Whatever you have on your agenda, go boldly, be in Christ, be in prayer, and know that God is for you and that you have the opportunity as well to be useful in ways that he'll use the unexpected to do the unexplainable for his glory and for the good of his kingdom here on earth and in heaven. Thank you for tuning into The Beacon. We're grateful to you for listening.